Log Talk Radio.
Convictions to Zero Redemption by Stephen L. Bobo.
Good afternoon, everybody. Stephen Bobo here, Bozilla, if you will. New theme music brought by my cousin. I will give you guys information at a later date. But I want to thank you. Hopefully, everybody's on that's supposed to be on tonight. We're going to continue for our last show that we had with this young man. Hopefully, he can get on. Hopefully, everybody's here. So if not, I want to start off with a little bit of thing. I want to thank everybody for tuning in, checking us out. This is my third or fourth show I've done. So I want to say thank you, everybody, for helping me boost this show. I'm hoping that they come on today because last time they got it, we got in a little late and he had to get off because, of course, we know that he is inside the walls and he has came on to tell us his story. There's a lot of things that he wants to say, and I want to continue doing shows with him because he's doing exactly what I'm talking about, the pipeline that goes from school to prison. And everybody who knows me, you know that's what I do now. I'm the prison, the pipeline guy. I was an MS guy, but I'm no longer an MS guy. I do have multiple sclerosis, but I'm doing this now because this is my life, because I was a former incarcerated inmate. I was in behind the walls myself.
This
and I was
call
a guard
is originating from an Ohio correctional facility and may be recorded and monitored.
What's up? What's going on?
Yeah. How you doing, brother? I'm fine.
I'm doing all right, man.
You?
Thank you for coming in, man. Go right on ahead, and you go right on ahead, because I know you're on a time schedule, but go right on ahead and tell your story, man. Let's go.
Right. Oh, yeah, no, I mean, you know, just to continue what we were talking about last week, we got a chance, the opportunity to talk. My friend, Candace, was telling me that the topic was kind of about culpability or do juvenile offenders understand the difference between right and wrong? That was a discussion that, you know, I have a lot of thoughts about that as far as, you know, my personal experience concerning the fact that I've been incarcerated since I was 15 years old. And taking it to light, you know, my educational background at the time, you know, struggling with a learning disability, what they call today ADHD, I struggled in school, you know, to concentrate, to focus. They put me in what they would consider back then a special class where they had two teachers and the classroom was the classroom was smaller. And then, you know, they suspended me when I showed behavior that was considered to them to be disruptive or disrespectful. They sent me home, and then that went on for of course time, and then they completely expelled me from the school. Don't forget, at this time I'm about 8 or 9 years old, and they sent me to a positive education program. And this is what we call, you know, a bad boy school, where predominantly all the students in this program is males, and they also have behavior problems. And in this school, that the teachers are trained to deal with children
right.
who are exhibiting this type of behavior. So therefore, they had a policy when I came to the school. I'm 89 years old. That when a child shows this disruptive behavior, the teachers have the authority to put these children in physical restraints. So I mean, I'm talking about like pressing them up against the wall, putting them on the floor, putting the weight of a full grown person on top of them until the child calms down. I was in this positive education program for 3 years, and you had to gradually work yourself out of it. And so I went through this as a child, and I experienced it as a child. I think it kind of stifled my emotional development for a while because, you know, everything for me, as it is for most children, is reactionary.
Right.
But I think that the courts itself, considering that we have time, I can't really get into everything right now, but considering the courts this time when I got in trouble at 15 years old, these things were never considered. You know, they don't consider that. The only thing they see is the crime. The only thing they see is the offense. So therefore, the concept of a bad act equaling a bad person is prevalent in the mentality of prosecutors and judges and just the whole idea of the judicial system, the criminal justice system, is that it's about punishment. It's about you have to be penalized and punished for what you do. But taking the concept of what we know about children. You know, take into account what we know about children, what we know if you're a parent or if you've been around children. You know that your 14, 15-year-old child, the reason why we need parenting, the reason why we need mentorship, the reason why we all say that these children need guidance because we know they can't do it themselves. They can't do it themselves.
That's right.
So therefore, of course, let's be real. We're going to be real. We're not going to placate the issue. That people do know. There's no question about this. You know what you are doing. Now, you may not know in totality the consequences of what you're doing, which means that, you know, when you find yourself in a situation and you can't really, you know, discern, like, okay, is this the best thing for me? No child sits down methodically and just thinks to say, well, A and B equals C and C equals, like, no child does that. We're just not wired that way yet. That comes with life experiences. That comes with growing. That comes with education. That comes with being exposed to different forms of critical thinking. So children lack that, and we know they do lack that, and society knows they lack that as well too. Many children, such as myself, find ourselves in situations where we can't pull ourselves out of. You know, we get in the car with some friends, and we drive down the block, and somebody pulls out a gun and shoots out the window, and then you drive off. You don't know really in totality what happened because you don't need to stick around to find out what was the outcome.
Nope.
But now when
authorities
get involved, they don't care about anything like that. You were in the car. You were there. You're going to prison. You're going to be punished. And that's one of the most crucial things that are happening today. And then not to alleviate any type of a responsibility or accountability that offenders have, myself included.
This call is originating from an Ohio correctional facility and may be recorded and monitored.
Myself being a juvenile offender, but when does the idea of redemption, rehabilitation, forgiveness, restorative justice come into play? When do we say, okay, a child at 15 years old, 10 years later he's 25, 20 years later he's 35. Is that the same person? Is that the same person? Is that the same brain? Is that the same condition of heart? Is that the same spirit? We're not being afforded the opportunity to demonstrate this. And so this is why it's very important.
Right.
Like when you talk about the mission that you're on from the prison to pipeline, it starts in the schools. It starts in the schools.
Exactly.
The schools. Well, it starts in the home. It starts in the home, and then it goes. Then it transfers to the school. And the schools themselves have this no-tolerance policy. You've been hearing it throughout the years. No tolerance whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
No tolerance. If a child is showing any type of behavioral issues, what that child's going to do, first of all, is be stigmatized. Then once they're stigmatized, they're going to be regulated and controlled. Trust and believe this. And this is why they're shipping children out. The level of expulsions for children are higher, especially black young black males. Let's remember this.
Yes.
There's
yes.
a racial component yes. that's a part of this that we can't deny. We can't deny. We know that young black males, young adolescents, are suspended at a higher rate than young white males. We know this. We also know that young black males are going are being regulated and thrown into the criminal justice system and being penalized at higher rates, especially here in Ohio. Especially here in Ohio, at higher rates than white youth offenders who are getting in the same trouble and finding themselves involved in the same type of crimes. But they're being afforded consideration. They're being afforded a sense of mercy and opportunity to learn from that mistake and to make something better of themselves and get home. When a lot of us, myself included, is not being afforded the opportunity. So when we speak about reform, and I keep talking about this. After our interview we had last week, my mother heard it and said, "I sound like a broken record," because she's heard it so many times, right? She said, "Baby, you keep talking about the same thing over and over and over again." I told her, "Well, Mom, the reason why I have to, and trust me, I'm not doing it because I don't have nothing else to talk about. I'm doing it because I have to. We have to raise awareness. We have to continue to have these conversations until people get it. And to people start broadening conversations and don't be afraid to have these discussions and come together and try to put a comprehensive agenda together to move forward so we can affect some change within our legislators, within the politics, within our societies, within our homes, within the schools.
This call is originating from an Ohio correctional facility and may be recorded and monitored.
We all need to be working together. Now, you yourself, brother, as it was to my understanding, that you've experienced incarceration. You've been there.
Yes, sir.
You know it.
Yes, sir.
You can speak to the darkness as well as the light that's associated with that experience. Now, the people who have not experienced that, the only way they're going to be able to empathize at all, if they have it within themselves to do so, is by paying attention to what we're saying, and they have to be willing to listen. And so, let me make this clear, because I didn't get a chance, the opportunity to do it last week.
Yes,
time to afford it. But
yes, sir.
When we talk about prison reform, when we talk about juvenile justice reform, this is no way an attempt to trivialize the hurt, the pain, and the victimization of other human beings. There are real victims that have suffered, that are continuing to suffer. There are families that have been ripped apart and destroyed because of violence and violent crimes. Let's make no apologies for that whatsoever. We also have to reach out to these individuals, these people, because they could be allies. They could be allies. And I know this is one of the hardest things to do. And I know it personally in my life, because I've lost three cousins to the streets. First cousins that were shot, killed in the streets by other young black males. So I know what it feels like. I was at 12 years to 13 years old, I was a pallbearer for my 24-year-old cousin that was carjacked, shot, and killed in 1993. I've seen it up close. So I know I've been there. So when I'm speaking to, it's a process that we're going to have to promote some type of restoration between victims and offenders by having these conversations, by saying, "Hey, I'm sorry. I was young. I was foolish. I was stupid. I didn't get it. I didn't understand. I didn't know that when I committed this crime, that the ramifications it would have on your life, the life of your family, my life, the life of my family, and the life of my family." See, this is when what we're talking about here, this is when we're having a conversation that involves a human being, an adult, the basis of it being our shared humanity. When people can truly understand where you're coming from. So you can't talk about reform if we're not talking about reaching out to victims. I don't think so. And I think a lot of victims who speak out against these type of discussions that we're having, or the movements that's taking place, or the cause for criminal justice reform, they find themselves being ostracized by the people who are having these conversations. Yes. And so I want to say this to them if they're listening, and I hope that you would take it also further, brother, to let those victims know, to let them who have suffered know that many of us in here have put forth so much effort and so much time to changing ourselves and changing our lives, changing our minds, changing our hearts. Many of us have our spiritual people, religious people. We're connected to our source of power, who is God above, and we have adapted under the conditions we have to become the best people that we possibly could be, and that we are not the bad act that we committed. That's not That's not who we are in its entirety. And I think that we need to be seen in that way, as transitorial beings, as we are all transitorial.
This call is originating from an Ohio correctional facility and may be recorded and monitored.
Which means that whatever condition you find yourself in today doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be in that condition tomorrow or 5 years from now or 10 years from now. And that's the process. That's the evolutionary process that every human being is on. So at the heart of this is about redemption. It's about redemption for all of us. So we need justice. And when you call for justice, I mean, it has to be more than just, you know, reward or penalty. It has to be about mercy. It has to be forgiveness. It has to be about opening ourselves up to the idea that people change. And nobody has shown more promise. Nobody has shown more potential than juvenile offenders. And this is important. And I'm living proof of that. I'm living proof of that. Many people that you may be listening today, my friend that's on the phone, or people that may be listening to this interview, would talk to me and probably don't know that, yeah, I couldn't read and write until I was 18 years old. I taught myself how to read and write in prison. By studying dictionaries, copying encyclopedias, and just staying up into the wee hours of the night, studying and reading and trying my best to educate myself. You wouldn't know that by talking to me today. You won't know that by listening to me today. You can't say that.
Right.
That happened right here.
Right.
I've transformed this environment from a prison to a university, and it's possible. And I'm showing the possibility of what can happen. But I'm not being afforded the opportunity, like as I said to you last week, to shine, to share my experiences with those young brothers and young sisters that's getting in trouble out there right now in those detention centers and those group homes who need somebody to come in and put up their chair and get next to them and say, hey, listen, I feel you. I know what you're talking about. I know what you're going through. I know what you're feeling because I've been there. But this is what you can do right here, right now. This is what you could do right here, right now. I didn't have that. I didn't have that.
Right.
I didn't have nobody say, hey,
right. This
is what you could do right here, right now that could prevent this experiencing from morphing into something, to morphing into a tragedy, to morphing into you spending 20, 30, 40, 50 years behind bars. See, that's what we need, and that's what we need our state officials, our clergy leaders, the people that's working in the community, just the residents in the community to start promoting mentorship, positive mentorship for our children. You know, I mean, I wasn't exposed to it when I was young. I grew up, like I said, I grew up on a block, man. I grew up looking up and listening to and emulating drug dealers. That's the truth. That's who I seen.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't come.
Yeah.
That's what we saw. That's what we saw.
That's what we emulated.
So, like I said, that's what we saw. That was there. That's who you related to because that's what you seen. It was only into prison when I opened up a book and started reading. And that I would discover great figures and great thinkers and great poets and great writers and great men and women who achieved greatness through some of the most overcoming the insurmountable, what could be considered insurmountable difficulties in their lives to become great men and great women. And like I said, I wasn't getting that in school. And you could ask anybody who's been there. You've been there too, my brother. You know what I'm talking about. In school, they're not giving it to us in school. They're not telling us what's going on in school.
That's it. You're right. I only knew about two or three people when we were in school, and I talk about five minorities. You know about Martin Luther King,
Rosa Parks,
Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and Harriet Tubman. That's all people you knew. That's all people you knew about.
And let's don't forget one thing. And the Malcolm that we heard, we got about, he was so watered down. By the time you got through the text, you didn't want to feel like put on the suit and the bow tie. That's just the reality of the situation. So I'm saying that education is the greatest path towards reform. And not just for people in prison. I'm talking about people out there in society. So those people that's using the internet and on Facebook every day and on social media, just texting BS, and excuse my language, but just out there just sending messages out there about absolutely nothing. Educate yourself. Uplift yourself.
Elevate yourself.
Put something positive out there that's gonna have a positive effect on somebody else. Become aware about what's going on with your lives. We got an election year coming up.
Yeah.
And this is serious business. This is serious business.
It is.
We have to hold these people responsible. We have to hold them accountable. When these people come to our town, talking about vote for me, we got to ask ourselves the question. We have to ask them that question. When they say, we need your vote, we're going to say, well, listen, what have you done for me? What have you done for my community? Do you know our issues? Are you speaking to the needs and the concerns and the conditions that we are faced with every single day. And see, we're not doing that. We're not doing that, and this is the reason why we have these problems in our community today, where we have
This call is originating from an Ohio correctional facility and may be recorded and monitored.
But unemployment issues or the lack of entrepreneurship in our communities, the lack of recreational centers for our children, the when we look at what's going on within the public school system, all these things can be changed if we got involved, if we got directly involved, not just casting your vote, but being at the PTA meeting.
Right.
But going to the recreation centers, right, going to the recreation centers, putting in the time with the kids. That's what I'm talking about, supporting our businesses in our community, letting that dollar circulate through our community several times before we go run and give it to Nike, before we go run and give it to Reebok or whoever else, whatever style is trending at that particular time, or going to buy a gold chain or going to buy a car. No doubt.
I agree with you 100%.
That's what we have to do. That's what we have to do. Because don't forget, the prison system itself, like you said, is a direct pipeline from the school system. And guess what? Business and politics is so immersed. It's so immersed within the prison system today. That's why it's so hard to change policy. Because people are making, I'm talking about the people at the top, they're making
You have 1 minute remaining.
They're making big money off the prison system. Mass incarceration has produced massive funds for those people who are investing in prison. Now, trust and believe it. From the TVs that sold, from the radios that sold, from the Keepy coffee that we put in our drinks every single day, people are making dividends off of it, and we got to wise up to it. It ain't just about crime and punishment.
Yes,
trust me, it's about business. It's about business, too.
Big business.
So we have to become aware of this, about what's really happening in our name. And I want to thank you again for the opportunity to speak to you, brother.
No problem. I love to have you on again, man. Whenever you get a chance, man, I love to have you back again. So we'll be part three.
Oh, for sure, brother.
Appreciate
part
it,
three, no question. I'm being prepared. I'm saying, well, give me some topics to work on, and we can go forward. Okay, brother. Thank you.
All right, man. Keep your head up, brother.
All right. You too, brother. One.
What's up, great people? You heard another brother that's behind them walls and speaking the truth about what's going on in this system today. We're talking about the pipeline, like we've been talking about since day one, since I got on doing this stuff. I was just at the Ohio State, here in Columbus, Ohio, the capital of the state of Ohio, and I was here, and we did a protest yesterday for guns, and also I got to speak about the pipeline. And let me tell you what. Did nobody show up from outside? I'm talking about from inside them walls, inside that building of the Constitution, of Congress, of Ohio State Congress. Nobody came out to see anything. We were loud. We had megaphones. We had speakers. We had everything out there. But they never showed one person to come out to talk to us. And Bernie Sanders people were here, and nobody ever came out to talk to us. I'm not bad mouthing nobody that's running for office, but damn it, really, we are people here too. Those are people inside them walls. Those people are loved ones. Those are women's sons, father's sons. There's kids, women's daughters, father's daughters inside them. There's women, daughters and sons, fathers and mothers inside them walls. And you are not coming out to talk to us? This is what's going on in real life. You are locking up our loved ones. And we're talking about the youth. The youth. Just like this gentleman just said, he was 15 or younger inside them walls. There's no reason for somebody that young to be inside them walls. Especially, you're mentally not ready to handle what goes on in walls. People who have been inside them walls, they'll tell you, nobody's 15, 16 need to be inside them walls. There's no reason why. And the mother of that gentleman that was on this phone, as she's listening, I give you all the praises and all the ups for being a mother, a queen who had her son inside them walls. One mistake can cost you. Trust me, I made one too. But guess what? He's done his time. Let this man go. He needs to get home to be a son to his mother, a son to his father, a father to his children. That's what we're talking about. Let's stop this tradition of men getting
getting locked up and watch their sons come in, right, be a partner inside the room with him, right inside the cube with him. I had that Madison Correctional. I had a father and a son locked up together, a whole generation. That's what you're telling me. And you're going to lock up generations. So, okay, we've all made mistakes, but we're locking up generations, guys, generations. So, damn it, we need to stop this generational curse. Let's keep it real. There's no reason for somebody to lock up a whole damn family in the penitentiary. Be honest. Do you want your daddy locked up? Do you want your mama locked up? Somewhere this has to stop. Penitentiary is the biggest pimp game in the world. And I said it, yes. It's modern-day pimping inside the penitentiary. You're working for nothing, and you're keeping the business going. So it's modern-day pimping. You might as well be working for the Chinese people doing nails. I'm just being honest. So let's keep it real, guys. There's no possible way that we need to keep this. We need to break this damn pipeline somewhere. So I need you. I need anybody to hear my voice. Pass me on. Pass me on to people who can hear. Pass me on to people who can actually help and hear, make them hear my voice and get to this Constitution, to these people that are in the upper ups that need to hear that we need to break this damn pipeline. These kids need our help. I say this every show I'm on. And it's just like I'm barking up the wrong tree because nobody wants to hear. You're quick to go buy a ticket to go see Cardi B. You're so quick to go buy a ticket to see the Oakland Raiders. You're so quick to go buy a ticket to see the Pittsburgh Steelers. You're quick to go buy a hat and a jersey to watch LeBron James. But once you get the money to the goddamn prison system to help these kids. Yeah, I said it. Everybody knows I'm the biggest Oakland Raider fan there is. But you know what? I will sell my Raider ticket if I can help a child. I have a friend right now who has a son who has autism. And like I always say, not on my watch, I'm going to let that boy go into the system. And I'm pretty sure there's a bunch of parents out there who have kids. My one friend who's in our group, and she has a son that's in high school right now, smart as all get out. We're not going to have him go in the pipeline. She will die before that happens. I know her. The friend of the random son, I was just talking about her autism. She'll die before that happens. And don't let me get started on his daddy. I'm going to get started on his daddy. Because it takes a man to, it don't take a man to make a baby. It takes a man to take care of one. So you want me. You try to show game to me. You try to show me out about when I help buy your son some shoes, and you're going to try to get smart to go, you're going to pay me back because I bought your son some shoes, but you're supposed to be buying your kid something. That's not my son. But you know what? I'm not going to have that boy walk around with some stupid shoes either. I'm not going to make him look like a damn fool. You're doing it by yourself because you look a damn fool. But I'm not going to put this on here because this ain't that type of show. My show right now is talking about helping these kids. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm down to 60-some seconds, guys. I want to say tune in pretty soon. Stay awake. Stay woke. Godzilla is about to roar, and we're about to break this damn pipeline. Trust me, we are. Just stick with me. I love y'all. Godzilla out. Thank you for tuning in, ladies and gentlemen.